is where we'll be reading from. And I do need your prayers for the time that we would be before you. And just ask God to take his word, send it out, that we all might hear what God has to say to us individually. Because as he speaks, he may be speaking to one about healing and another about salvation. Maybe talking to one to put their mind to ease about those things that they've worried about for so long. God has a way of speaking to each and every one of us because he knows what we need today. Isaiah 55. Let's start reading at verse 8 down through and including verse 13 this morning. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down in the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And stop reading there with that 13th verse this morning. I'd like to bring to you a message entitled, God's Work Will Get the Work Done. God's Word Will Get the Work Done. Isaiah, the prophet, major prophet, that has given us these words today, is teaching us that God knows more about what you need than you know yourself. It's not what we think we need. We look at our lives and say, I need a good job, and I need a home, I need transportation, I need clothing, I need food, I need all these things that we look at our lives and say, this is really what's important to us. God is saying to us that there are things that are more important that we often put at the bottom of the list. And those things that are more important, God knows all about them because he said that his thoughts are not our thoughts, neither is his ways our ways. We try to figure it out and get it all put together, and we think we've done a good job, only to hear God say that there's still parts that are missing. There's things that are missing in our life. Even though those other things are necessary, they're not as important as what God is offering to us. They're not as important as what our soul tells us that we have need of. I believe that every lost man, woman, boy, or girl has an emptiness in their life. And they're trying to fill that emptiness through many different measures. Some are turning to things of this world, entertainment and drugs and alcohol and things like that to try to fill that void that will never be filled as long as they look for it in the world. But there is a place, and there is a man that can speak what you have need of in your life. Today, he knows about your brokenness. He knows about your pain and suffering. He knows about that need that's in your life that you just can't be satisfied with nothing else. I believe there's a lot of folks that are searching But until they get hold of God, they'll never find what it is that is missing in their life. The Bible says here that God told them that the rain and the snow would come down. And the rain and the snow would water the ground so that it would be able to bring forth the bud so that the seed may grow and the we might have bread. And there's a big message in that. Water, if you'll have it, and Lloyd, you talked about it or touched about it in Sunday school, that when we see this water that comes down, it's representing the Holy Spirit that comes by our way. And when the Holy Spirit touches our life, it allows the bud to begin to grow. It allows the seed to be planted in our heart. And if we will follow God, it allows that seed to grow. There's a lot of folks, I believe, that have had the feeling of the Holy Spirit come by their way and the seed planted. But they've never allowed the seed to grow in their life. In fact, the Bible teaches us that first the seed must die, that it can bring forth life. People that are walking around with God's word, even in their hearts and their mind, but they want to allow God's work to be finished in their life. How many of us have said no to God along this journey? And God wants us to be blessed. He don't want us to go around with just a knowledge of God, but He wants us to have an experience of God. It's more than just having a knowledge. I had a knowledge of God before I ever had an experience with God. And Brother Ray, I wouldn't take anything for the experiences that I have with God as my Lord and my Savior. Is it not the best thing that's ever happened to you, church? When the Lord moved in our hearts and our life. He said that His word would go forth out of His mouth, not out of the man behind the pulpit. I've said this many times, and you may get tired of me saying it, but when I was under conviction, there was a time that I lost track of what the man behind the pulpit was saying, because there was a God that was speaking to my heart and my life. Hallelujah. He spoke a word to my heart and life that I experienced something that I never experienced before. You see, I grew up in Sunday school. I knew about the Bible stories, but I did not know God until the word came to my life. God's word will get the work done. He said that it would come and it would go forth out of His mouth. I'm thankful that, and you know, oftentimes when I get home on Wednesday nights, Becky will say, "How was church?" And I'll say, "It was good." Because anytime I can feel the presence of God and feel His Holy Spirit, it is a good place to be. There's times we may not be as high on the mountain as other times. And we all contribute to that in the service, where we need to just put away the thoughts of tomorrow and the things that's happening this week and just let God speak to us through His word. Because as I said earlier, the devil comes to bring us down and try to hinder us, as the girl sung that song. Sometimes we feel like that. I can't do a thing. And God says you can. Anybody need that word from the Lord this morning? Sometimes when the devil says you're not loved, but yet then we feel the Lord pass by. And He touches our heart. Folks, if you can't feel the love of God, you're in trouble. That when we feel like we can't, but God says you can. Or we feel like we've sinned so long that God won't have anything to do with us. We've been We've done things that we're just completely ashamed of, and I don't know if God will forgive me for it. God's word says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't put any exclusions in there. He said, all of you come. When God speaks to us, he said his word would not return unto him void. And this really got my attention today, like no other time in the studying of God's word. And that is this. Let me explain this to you this morning. God's word will get the work done, regardless if we say yes or no to his word. You say, Roger, that's how in the world will his work get done and not return to him void? If we say yes, I understand that. But what if we say no? God has given his word to give you the opportunity to act upon it. And whether we act upon it or not, God has done his part. And his part is to give us the invitation. And then if we say yes, he said that we would go out with joy and we would have peace, and the mountains and the hills will break forth into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of a thorn, we'll have a fir tree, and instead of the briar, we'll have a myrtle tree. What he's saying, if we would say yes, our life would change from that day to the rest of our days upon this earth. Our thorns and our briars, that myrtle tree represents or is an evergreen. And the Lord gave it to me like this morning. Where it used to be thorns and briars, there's now a tree. Everlasting tree that is in my life. You know, even in the midst of winter when the snow is down and everything else is gloomy, looks like it's dead, you see that evergreen? And it's green all the time. Can I preach today that no matter what my life looks like on the outside, on the inside, I've got a tree that stays the same season in and season out, day after day, month after month, and year after year. You say, Roger, do you have a myrtle tree? I don't know what kind of tree that they hewed out those two pieces of wood, but it stands forever in my heart and my life, and I'm thankful that Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, that the word would come forth through the midst of the church and touch a sinner like me. And when the word touched me, and the first time through the Spirit, I spoke no to him. I denied the invitation, and I left there miserable and broke and just devastated. And I got up on my bed that evening, and I was afraid that I would die before we had church again, and I would spend eternity in hell and destruction. But praise the name of Jesus Christ. He come by another time, and the word came to my house, and the best thing I ever did do was when I said yes to the Lord, and I stepped out, and the mountains and the hills began to rejoice. And you say, what about the trees clapping their hands? I believe that was moms and dads saying, praise God, another one has come and received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We need more rejoicing in the house of God. God's word will come, and Isaiah said it like this: when God's word comes to our heart, it will bring condemnation. Isaiah said it like this. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He spoke to me, and I said, woe am I, for I am a man of unclean lips. God's word will reveal where you stand with God. I'm talking about the true word. true word that has some anointing. There are times that any of us could get this Bible out and begin to read it, and it won't mean a thing to us. It'll just sound like a good verse or a good advice for our life. But how many of us, when we get this book out and we say, Lord, I need a word from you. Oh, I'm going to preach this morning. And we began to walk around and we got the book in our hand. Or maybe we read the verse and then we'll walk around and we'll say, Lord, help me. I need your help today. And God will open up the heavens and it feels like the presence of the Lord comes down in the house or the car or on the job. And we say, thank you, God, that you passed by my way and spoke to my heart and life. Gave me a word that I could rebuke the devil and put him on the run. He said that his word would not return unto him void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. God knows exactly where you're at today and what you need. God is offering to you on this Sunday morning everything you need to make you happy. Everything you need. You say, if I follow God, will I get everything I need? You will. I'm not talking about necessarily earthly things. How many of you know that God blesses his children even with earthly things? Right? And we enjoy them, do we not? But what we have here does not compare to what I've got waiting on the other side of the river. I've got more over there than I've got here. He said it would accomplish that which he pleases. God does not send his word to bring us harm. You know, we're living, as our president says, we're living in a time that people are so easily offended by just about anything. Some say that God's word offends me. It offends us because we are wrong. Right? Condemnation comes in. And then it's followed by conviction that comes in our life and shows us what we are missing. There's a lot of people that are trying to live good lives, but good lives don't bring forth fruit. Holy lives bring forth fruit. He said that there would be condemnation and conviction. And if we allow God to continue his work, you know, you can say no to God at any time, but it does not stop God's work. God has got a work that he's going to do regardless whether you say yes or no. We cannot stop God because his ways are above ours and his thoughts are above ours. He knows, again, more about what we need than we do. When conviction goes forth, a conversion can take place. But still, if you say no, it does not stop God from accomplishing wherein he sent it. It still went to your heart. And you was faced with a decision on what to do with God. Some of us today need to just open up our heart and say, Lord, you're right. I need to get rid of some things in my life. I need to add some things to my life. You know, you say, well, what do you need to add to your life? We need more time with God. We need more time in his book. We need more time. And this is really going to not set too well with some of it. We need more time in the house of God that we might be able as a group get others in before it is too late. Because time is running out. Once the Lord does his work, his word does his work. And I've got to put this in. Folks, it's the preached gospel that gets the work done. Not just the reading of some verses and then adding man's commentary to it, or not even taking world events or current events and trying to tell people how to have a better life. Let me tell you, you can do all the things that are being publicized and your life is still going to be broken and miserable until you obey the Word of God and get right with God and get your house cleaned up and put in order. When we say yes to God, our life changes for the better. I've got the best life. And you say that because you're a preacher and a pastor? No, I say that because I am a born-again child of God. Whether I wake up tomorrow or not, I'll be all right. In fact, it's better for me. Paul said to live is Christ, but to die is gain. When I take my last breath, I'm saying goodbye to a world filled with sorrow. And I'm saying good morning to a place that I became a citizen of back in 1972. I've heard about it. I've read about it. Can I preach a little while longer? Some of the best impressions or visions I've got about heaven was when somebody was singing a Spirit-filled song or somebody was preaching a Holy Ghost-filled message. It's just like Brother Wayne. God began to work in our minds and we saw things like we'd never seen before. And it makes sense because John said it was on the Lord's day when I was on the Isle of Patmos that God come down and he revealed things to him like man had never seen before. Today, if we say no, our life changes for the better. If we say no, our life will only get worse. I know people, and you know people, that have said no to God when their life was in disarray. And I'm going to ask you for a witness. But when they said no to God, from that day forth, their life just continued to go downhill in a spiral away to where it got worse and worse and worse. The devil's not happy where you're at. God's not happy where you're at. The devil wants to make it even worse than what you have it right now. God wants to make it better than you've ever experienced it before. Let me find a closing place this morning. When we look at our lives with God, his work came in and his word did the work in our life. How many of you know you've been saved because it was the word of God that brought conviction and you stepped out and received the conversion? Amen? I didn't go to a series of meetings to learn how to be a Christian. If you'll have it, I got sanctified, justified, and glorified all at the same time and didn't know what I got. All I knew is I walked out accepting Jesus as my Savior, and when I got up from the altar, the burden was lifted. Hallelujah. Oh, that'll make you shout. The burden was lifted. And the preacher, y'all might get tired of hearing this someday. The preacher said, did you ask God to forgive you? And I shook my head, yes. He said, do you feel like God saved you? And I shook my head, yes. He said, do you want to be baptized to be part of the church? I shook my head, yes. And let me tell you, the best thing I ever did do was receive the Lord. Receive his word. You say, how can you receive him? You're not receiving him. You're receiving his word. And the word is him. Oh, I know it's going to say all this. Because John said it like this. The word was made flesh and we beheld him as the only begotten son of God. He dwelt amongst us, right? Dwelt amongst us. He's not here in body, but he's certainly here in spirit. And his word is working in your life. I ask you this morning, as we close, because he said in the seventh verse, which we did not read, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God's work has gotten the work done today. He has spoke to this congregation. Robin Sharon, get us a song. He has spoken to your heart and life, and now it's your choice. Are you going to say, yes, I want my life to be better? I want to know this Jesus as my personal Savior. I want to know God as my personal God. Or are you going to say, I think I'll just stay right where I'm at. And where you're at today is a place that God doesn't want you in. Because I ask you this question this morning. If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? You might be a good person. Doesn't change the fact you need to be born again. You might have heard message after message after message. And the devil will tell you, you know enough that surely you'll get to go. You know, the devil is using his people to mislead a lot of people about heaven and hell. Let me warn you this morning, not every program on the radio or TV or every man that stands behind a pulpit is preaching for your benefit. They give you enough of the gospel that will help their benefit. If you'll have it today, they're in it to see themselves exalted. I am nothing. Just a sinner saved by the grace of God, on my way home and trying to convince others along the way that they might also accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I ask why we stand and sing a verse of a song. Today, God's word has come by your heart and it will get the work done. You may say no to him this morning, but God has done his part. Now it's up to you to do your part while they sing. Do you want your life to get better? Or are you just complacent where you're at today, still searching for things to make your life better? This world has nothing to offer you to fill that void. You must get it from God and his word. Come on today, mom and dad, young man or woman, grandma, grandpa that needs to get right. Step out. Step out right now and say yes to God. He has what you need. He's offering it to you today. Free. The price has already been paid. All you have to do is accept him. Oh, sinner, come home. Rob, if you would, while we pause for just a moment and you go to the other song for me for just one verse, I ask you today, God has already blessed you. No doubt, time and time again. He's given you the life that you have, given you the blessings that you have in your home. You say, but my home has been marred by a lot of things. You know, I have grandkids that spend part of the week at this house and the other part at another house. It's not their fault. It's the devil's fault. Amen? Because he came in and drove a wedge into those lives. I've got family that are hooked on drugs and alcohol. And really, today, it's not mom and dad's fault, because I know how they was raised. It's the devil's fault. It's their fault for allowing the devil to consume their life in such a manner that they can't get out of the grasp that he has hold of them. It starts off small. Just one hit, just one pill, just one drink. He never shows you where it's going to lead you to. I heard a number the other day, and I can't recite it, so I better leave it, try not to make up a number. But the number of lives that was lost in this country last year due to drug overdose. No other year have we seen that many die from drug overdose. Alcohol abuse that is killing so many. And yet, people stand by and say, I'm all right. You know when you're all right? Is when God has taken the desire for all those things away from you. Amen. I don't have a desire for the things that the devil's offering. You know what my desire is? Lord, give me more of your word. Give me more of your spirit, that when the deceiver comes along, I can say, devil, get me behind me and leave me alone. Because you know I belong to God. Doesn't stop him from coming and offering. But we can say no. I ask you why they sing this quick verse of a song. Why don't you step out and ask God to help you put your life in order? The church says come. The Holy Spirit is saying come. God is saying, take my word. Take my word. Would you do that today? To thee, oh Lamb of God. He has the word that will change your life. God bless you today. We have done our part. God has done his part. The church has done her part. And I thank you, church. There's nothing like a praying church. When people are up singing and people are up testifying and preaching. Buddy, when you see somebody that's sitting there praying for you, lifting you up, wood on a fire, or it's like saying, sick them to an old junkyard dog. Right? It's encouraging. Remember tonight our service at 6 o'clock, followed by our fellowship. So get you a nap, I guess you better get some lunch first, then get you a nap, and then come back tonight ready to worship the Lord and ready to do your part that God gives you to do. God bless you today is our prayer. Thank you.